I want to extend a heartfelt greetings to one and all. This is Pastor Robert Sessler of Let There Be Light Ministries. And you know, friends, many are dying in this world without knowing what to expect after their life should cease. Should they embrace death? Should they be afraid of it? What can we expect after we die? That is why for the next few minutes, we will try to answer some of these questions and to see what God has to say in His Word. And hopefully, you will understand more clearly the question, is death to be feared? But please, let's first bow our heads for a short prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Thy love and blessings to us. Lord, we willingly recognize You as the source of all knowledge and wisdom, and we come to Thee pleading for You to grant us all the knowledge and wisdom that we need to understand this important subject of death. We claim James 1:5 and John 14:26, and we thank You, Lord, for granting us all that we need to comprehend if death is to be feared or not. Help us, Lord, to move closer to Thee. Help us to cast away all erroneous ideas and opinions, and to cling alone to the truth as it is in Jesus. In Thy precious name, amen. Now, there are so many conflicting beliefs about death and what it is like beyond the grave that it sometimes becomes difficult to know which beliefs are true and which are not. But God has not left us to wonder about this important subject without giving us insights into the truth on this issue. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, we're told, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works." So as all Scripture is inspired by God, then these sacred pages are where we can safely find the sure foundation for all doctrine, for reproof and correction of any of our errors in belief, and thus we can obtain the pure knowledge of righteousness. So what does God declare through His Word about the subject of death? First of all, what is death? The Bible refers over and over again that death is likened to sleep. In Old Testament times, when someone died, it was declared that he slept with his fathers. You can find this in 1 Kings 2:10, 1 Kings 11:43, 1 Kings 14, verse 20 and 31, and 1 Kings 15, verse 8 and 24. And it's recorded many other times in the Old Testament, and always likened to being sleep. Also in the New Testament times, death was also likened to being asleep. You can find this in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 30, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20, and 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 14. And Jesus plainly stated this same idea when He referred to the death of His friend Lazarus. In John chapter 11, verses 11 to 14, Jesus stated, "Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep." Then said His disciples, "Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well." Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that He had spoken of taking of rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, "Lazarus is dead." So being dead is just like being asleep, and you can find this same concept recorded in Matthew chapter 27, verse 52, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51, and Daniel chapter 12, verse 2. But the question arises, when we die or fall asleep, what happens? We're told in Psalms 146, verse 4, "His breath goeth forth, he returneth to his earth, in that very day his thoughts perish." So God stated that when we die, we no longer have any thoughts or mental processes. Thus there is no consciousness in the grave. So will God show us any of His wonders, whether past, present, or future, after we die and are in the grave? The Bible tells us no. In Psalms chapter 88, verses 10 through 12, we're told, Wilt thou show wonders to the dead? Shall the dead arise and praise thee? Shall thy loving kindness be declared in the grave, or thy faithfulness in destruction? Shall thy wonders be known in the dark, and thy righteousness in the land of forgetfulness? So after we die and are in the grave, we will not be shown any wonders, whether past, present, or future. But will we be able to praise the Lord in the grave? The Bible tells us no. In Psalms 115, verse 17, we're told, "The dead praise not the Lord, neither any that go down into silence." Will we even remember the Lord in the grave? The Bible says no. In Psalms chapter 6, verse 5, we're told, "For in death there is no remembrance of thee. In the grave, who shall give thee thanks?" Will we see anyone else while we are dead? The Bible tells us no. In Isaiah chapter 38, verses 10 through 11, we're told, "I said, in the cutting off of my days, I shall go to the gates of the grave. I shall behold man no more with the inhabitants of the world." But won't we see our loved ones and friends coming to our grave to pay us respect after we die? The Bible tells us no. In Job chapter 14, verses 10 and 21, it tells us, "But man dieth and wasteth away, yea, man giveth up the ghost. His sons come to honor, and he knoweth it not." So then those who have died really do not know anything. And this is exactly what the Scriptures tell us. In Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 5, "For the living know that they shall die, but the dead know not anything. Neither have they any more a reward, for the memory of them is forgotten." So truly, being dead is just like being asleep, exactly as Jesus told us. Yet many have been taught that at death some go straight to heaven. But does God through His Word teach that we go to heaven and see the Lord when we die? In Isaiah chapter 38, verses 10 and 11, we're told, "I shall go to the gates of the grave, I shall not see the Lord, even the Lord, in the land of the living." But others have been taught that their dead relatives are in heaven, and they are watching over them and working for their good through various methods and means. But is this what the Bible teaches us, friends? The answer is no. In Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 10, God tells us, "Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might, for there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest." But what about those who believe that they have actually seen or even talked to their dead loved ones, apparently raised from the dead? In Job 14:12, we're told, "So man lieth down and riseth not, till the heavens be no more. They shall not awake, nor be raised out of their sleep." So then what about those who believe in or who have seen ghosts or the spirits of the dead haunting houses or graveyards or even helping people? Is this possible? In Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verses 5 and 6, we're told, "The dead know not anything, neither have they any more a reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. Also their love and their hatred and their envy is now perished. Neither have they any more a portion forever in anything that is done under the sun." So the Bible clearly tells us that the dead have no memory at all of when they were alive. So they cannot remember anyone or anything that they either loved or hated, cherished or envied during their lifetime. So even if they could come back as a ghost or a spirit, they could not even remember who they were to haunt or help. Yet many people have actually seen ghosts or spirits in various apparitions. Others have heard unexplained noises and seen supernatural phenomena. But since God, through His Word of Truth, teaches that ghosts cannot be the actual dead person's spirit raised back to life, then who are these apparitions? In Revelation chapter 12, verses 7 to 9, we're told, "And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And in Revelation 16:14, for they are the spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world. So there are indeed ghosts or spirits today, yet not one of these are dead people come back from the grave. They are only the evil angels or the spirits of devils whom were cast out of heaven. These evil beings are only pretending to be the dead come back to life, and it really doesn't matter whom they impersonate. They could even impersonate the dead Apostle Paul or other followers of Christ. In fact, the more widely known the dead individual, the better for these evil spirits to impersonate them. But why would these evil angels impersonate the dead and sometimes even communicate information to those whom they contact? Their whole purpose for doing so is to deceive people and to try to get them to believe that the information given them from beyond the grave is really the truth. But can the devil or any of his evil angels speak the truth? In John 8, verse 44, Christ said, he, referring to the devil, abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is the liar and the father of it. So we are not to believe any of the information relayed by these apparitions or so-called spirits of the dead, because it is nothing but lies that they give us. And the biggest lie which the devil and his evil spirits have tried to pawn off as being true is the belief that when we die, our soul continues to live on. Multitudes have believed this falsehood, and it is also known as the immortality of the soul, and many have been duped into really believing that it is true. But is humanity immortal? The Bible teaches us in Job 4, verse 17, and Romans 6, verse 12, that all human beings are mortal, not immortal. In fact, in 1 Timothy 6:16, it states that God alone only hath immortality. So the Holy Scriptures declare that at death we do not go on living for eternity. We do not go to heaven or to hell at death, but we rest in the grave. So then neither do we reincarnate into some other creature, as in the pagan belief of the endless circle of life, or a continual rebirth only to die again. For God mercifully states to us that human beings die once, not many times. In Hebrews 9:27 we're told, it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. So the big question which needs to be asked is, what causes humanity to die in the first place? In Genesis chapter 2, verses 16 and 17, and Genesis chapter 3, verses 6, 9, and 19, this question is answered for us. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the Lord God called unto Adam, and said unto him, in the sweat of thy face thou shalt eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. So these verses tell us that death began when God's command or his law was disobeyed and broken. But what actually occurs when we disobey or transgress the law of God? In 1 John 3:4 we're told, whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. So when we break God's law, we commit sin. And what happens because of our choice to sin? In Romans 6:23 we're told, for the wages of sin is death. And who is the author and originator of all sin and death? In Ezekiel 28, verse 15, we're told, "Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee." And in John 8, 44, "He," or the devil, "was a murderer from the beginning." So God cannot be blamed for either sin or death, because the devil, or Satan, or Lucifer, is the originator and creator of all sin and death, and thus he alone is responsible for all the horror, pain, and suffering caused because of it. And since sin entered the world with its penalty of death, humanity has ever since tried to find a way to circumvent death and continue to live on. And the devil has been very successful in helping us to believe this with his lies. Multitudes believe the theory that sin only causes the penalty of death to our fleshly body, but our soul continues to live on forever. But does the Bible teach this? The answer is no. In Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse 20, we're told, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die." So the soul that sins does not live on forever, but it dies. And as we're told in Romans 3:23, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, then the soul of no dead human being has ever continued to live on after death. This belief that we are made up of a body and a separate soul is another lie directly from the devil and his evil spirits. God tells us the truth about how we were created. In Genesis 2 verse 7, he tells us, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." So God clearly states that a body plus the breath of life equals a living soul. You can also find this in Job 33 verse 4. And Ezekiel chapter 37 verse 6. So a body plus the breath of life equals a living soul. Then a body without the breath of life cannot equal a living soul, but it equals a dead soul. So there is no truth to the doctrine of our soul continuing to go on living after we die. Neither does humanity have a spirit which goes on living after death. Our breath, which comes from God and allows us to have life, can also be translated in the scriptures as spirit. You can find this in Job 27 verse 3. So a body plus the breath or spirit of life equals a living soul. But a body without spirit cannot equal a living soul. So there is absolutely no truth to the belief that when we die, our spirit continues to go on living. At death, our breath or spirit of life goes back to God who gave it to us at birth. You can find this in Ecclesiastes 12 verse 7 and Psalms 31 verse 5. But there is no separate life or consciousness in this breath, no more than there would be every time we exhale. But is the lot of humanity to face death without any hope of ever escaping from its eternal grasp? Has anyone delivered us from this hopeless destiny? Praise God, my friends, there is indeed someone who has delivered us from this hopeless destiny. In Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 9 and also verses 14 and 15. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Praise God, my friends, because Jesus has mercifully provided a way that all humanity can be delivered from this hopeless destiny of eternal death, in order that they might have life again. In John 3:16 we're told, "For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And in 1 Corinthians 15:22 we're told, "For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive." And in 1 John 5, verses 11 and 12, "And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." Praise God, my friends, because now all humanity can have hope that there is indeed life after death, but only in Jesus Christ. No other human being can offer us this life, whether he be president or pope, evangelist or guru, shaman or priest. Life after death is only to be found in Jesus Christ, because it is only Jesus that has been given power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as are his, as we're told in John 17, verse 2. And Jesus Christ is available to all humanity, even those who are considered to be in the lowest scale of human worth or in the deepest pit of sin. Jesus is even available to them. In Hebrews 4, verses 15 and 16, we're told, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." So we have a merciful and loving Savior that we can go directly to Him in every time of need, my friends. What a precious promise! And for those who think that they may have gone too far in sin to come back to Christ, we're told in 1 Timothy 1:15, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." So all humanity can now rest in the hope that there is indeed life after death, but only in Christ Jesus. No longer need anyone be afraid of death, unless you have not accepted Jesus as your Savior and are not connected with Him. Please do not allow another moment to go by without getting on your knees, repenting of your sins, and asking Jesus to forgive you, and then plead for Him to take control of your life. Because, as we're told in 2 Corinthians 6:2, now is the day of salvation. Not tomorrow, because tomorrow may be too late for you. This precious truth of there being a chance for life after death through Christ is a great comfort to each and every one of us who know the truth of this matter. May we go to Christ and plead for Him to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, as He has promised to do in 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. May we be hid in Christ, that whether we live or we die, we are the Lord's. This is my prayer for each one of us. Please bow your head with me. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for this blessed truth that there is indeed a chance for each and every one of us to have life after death, but this is only through Jesus Christ. Please help us, Lord, to confess and forsake our sins. Help us, Lord, to do Thy will. Help us to be hid in Jesus and to crucify self, that we might allow Him to live through us and to lead others to find Jesus as their escape from sin and destruction as well. Help us, Lord, to be so fully Thine that whether we live or die, we will be Thy property, and thus may have the assurance of everlasting life at the coming of our Savior the second time. Please prepare us for this great event, and thank You for delivering us and setting us free from the lies of the devil by Thy precious word of truth. Let it be the guide of our lives and the source of our spiritual strength. In Thy precious name of Jesus we pray. Amen. For those who would like more information on other topics of Bible truth, please visit our website at www.lightministries.com. And may God bless you all with His Spirit and His truth.